Their name is long but precise. The UN Principles for Housing and Property Restitution for Refugees and IDPs. Relief groups and lawyers know them as the Pinheiro Principles, named for Paul Sergio Pinheiro, the author of a study that assembled the guidelines, and a former UN Subcommission Special Rapporteur on Housing and Property Restitution. The principles are a consolidation of international human rights law and best practices for resettling those driven off their land. They are included in the UNHCR Handbook on Voluntary Repatriation, which provides additional guidance on voluntary resettlement and restitution of land and property. The 23 principles include the right to be protected from forced displacement and the right to freedom of movement, as well as adequate housing and the right to return in freedom and dignity. They also suggest legal and political procedures, including compensation, that can be provided by states to protect both returning refugees and also current inhabitants of their properties. Today, they're referred to in courtrooms around the world for those pressing restitution claims by refugees and IDPs. They're also used by governments in creating legislation to meet the standards of international treaties. Chris Huggins is the director of the consulting firm called Land Conflict Research in Ottawa, Canada.
And now the Pinheiro Principles, you know, bring in a lot of guidance and recommendations and standards relating to to refugees and the restitution of their lands. So really, it kind of it interacts with existing principles and guidelines and international frameworks. It's not what we call a hard law, so it doesn't necessarily represent a legal obligation on the part of either governments or UNHCR. But in certain parts of the world, the Pinheiro Principles have been used to interpret existing treaties or agreements.
They include the African Commission on Human and People's Rights. It relied on the Pinheiro Principles when deciding a recent lawsuit against the government of Sudan for abuses against the internally displaced in Darfur. The commission found that Khartoum had failed to show it refrained from forced eviction or the demolition of houses and other property from Janjaweed militia. In its ruling, the AU cited Principle 5. It calls on states to prohibit forced eviction, the demolition of houses and destruction of agricultural areas, and the confiscation of land as punishment or as an instrument of war. The principles say governments should prevent displacement, even when threatened by people, corporations, or other non-state actors. The African Commission's ruling calls on the government of Sudan to provide conditions for the safe return of IDPs and refugees and to establish a national reconciliation forum that would, among others, resolve issues of land, grazing, and water rights. The Pinheiro Principles also influenced the Kampala Convention. African signatories to it commit to protecting and helping IDPs return safely and voluntarily to their homes and to recognize the right of returnees to their property or to compensation. Huggins says there are efforts to have the principles be part of peace agreements. He says the principles encouraged the inclusion of property rights and housing issues in the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, CPA, that ended fighting between North and South Sudan in 2005.
A number of international actors, including, for example, FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, they did a number of studies on land issues in Southern Sudan, identified potential problems, both in terms of post-conflict land disputes and the violence that might potentially come from those, and in terms of the rights and the livelihoods of returning IDPs and refugees. And those studies actually fed into the Comprehensive Peace Agreement for Sudan. The CPA, the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, mandated a land commission to be put in place to look into these issues. And a land commission is indeed looking at these issues in Sudan right now, in the south. And there are also commissions in all of these transitional states trying to figure out how to resolve some of these land disputes.
In the DRC, there are local reconciliation and return commissions, working to resolve land issues and find alternative local lands to serve as compensation. In Burundi, the government has created a land and property commission mandated by peace agreements to look for solutions to IDP and refugee property claims. The Pinheiro principles forbid discrimination on the basis of gender, religion, language, disability, or other status. They also protect secondary occupants who have settled on refugee property from arbitrary eviction and encourage governments to find a remedy to their claims to property as well. The Pinheiro Principles are also part of the tripartite agreements signed between the UNHCR, the country of origin, and the host country, which cannot arbitrarily deport them. A public information officer with the UN Refugee Agency, Fatoumata Lejeune Kaba, explains how the principles' support for the vulnerable, including women, are ensured in the signed contract.
Women, for example, sometimes may not have their rights respected because of traditional practices that prevent them, for example, from inheriting land. And maybe they're entitled to it because this was the land of their husband who was killed during the war, or maybe they even themselves participated in purchasing the land. But from a traditional perspective, they're women, so they should not have a right to property in some cases, for example. So these are issues, for example, that we would specifically seek to address through a tripartite agreement. That is why when we enter into tripartite agreements, every word, every passage about every contested issue is negotiated, is discussed, and it will take as long as it needs to take. But by the time we sign an agreement, it means we've negotiated all the issues and discussed. And if there are issues that need to be resolved, it will be stated if we need to continue or if the country needs to continue to work on these issues.
Huggins says it's not easy to apply the principles everywhere. He says they worked well in Eastern Europe, where governments have kept records of land ownership, but that's not the case in much of Africa, where most land is not owned by individuals, but by the community under customary law. It may also be difficult for weak governments to assure the protection of all returning refugees, especially in remote areas or where the rule of law is not well established. Huggins calls these the gray areas in post-conflict restitution.
You know, there are a number of conflicts in Africa in which, especially ethnic minorities who are being targeted in violence, they tend to sell their land if they can before they flee the fighting. And there's a lot of controversy in many areas over to what extent that was a forced sale, because usually the price of land plummets, right? If it's clear that there is conflict or there is going to be conflict in an area, people will sell their land for whatever they can get for it. But then quite often, in a post-conflict situation, those same people will come back and say, well, look, you know, okay, I sold you this land, but my life was threatened. I gave you this at a much discounted price, and really that was a forced sale, and I want that land back. People will entrust their land to neighbors who might be of a different ethnic group. They'll say, look, you know, look after my land. You can use it, but when I come back, I want that land back. You know, you can hold it for me if you like. But, you know, after 20 years, perhaps that friendly neighbor has been replaced by his sons. And it's all based on word of mouth, right, and verbal agreements. And those kind of things are very, very difficult to prove. So these are very complex questions which have, you know, very local dimensions as well as more political dimensions at the higher level as well. So it's rather complicated to put the Pinheiro principles into practice in some African countries.
Huggins says this was the case in eastern DRC and in Rwanda and Burundi, and other areas where ethnic minorities were forced to flee. Some international NGO handbooks recommend that where tenure is not registered or contested, programs should be put in place to define and register land and to give people formal documentation that secures their rights to it. Huggins says This reinforces the importance of having well-functioning land tenure systems, still an issue for a continent where only a small percentage of property is officially registered. I'm William Eagle in Washington.